Hello, this is Roy Thomas, and you're listening to the Power Cosmic Podcast.
Let's all get back to work in the bullpen, and as for you, marvelous Merry Marchers, welcome from all of us to all of you. If you want to know how glad we are to have you with us, just you listen. Okay, let them hear it, gang.
Hey, everybody, it's your old pal Mitch Halleck here of the Power Cosmic Podcast with a special show. Now, I'm going to say something right now. There would be no Power Cosmic if it wasn't for this gentleman that I'm about to talk about. And I literally mean that. Because you see, Stanley Martin Lieber created the words Power Cosmic. And Stanley Martin Lieber, a.k.a. Stan the Man Lee, the greatest comic book creator in history. And I mean that. The greatest comic book creator, persona, everything to do with comic books, has just passed away. I found out about an hour ago. You're hearing this. It's November 12th, 2018. And the word, like wildfire, my wife called, my sons called, my mom called, my sister called. Everybody called, almost like a member of the family had passed away. And in a weird way, he did, because as long as I can remember, Stanley has been part of my life. And I'm talking about some of my earliest memories. I grew up here in Connecticut, and in, you know, about 90 minutes away was a magical place called New York City. And this is back in the 70s and early 70s, late 60s. And New York City was one of those places that just seemed to be, you know, where everything happened. And I'd watch TV because my dad would say, hey, why don't you watch these shows I used to watch growing up? And we'd watch Superman, which was in black and white, and then Batman and the Lone Ranger. But I never got into any of those guys because they just didn't seem real, if you wouldn't be. I know they were flying and the guy climbed up the buildings and he had a cool car and the other guy rode a horse, but nothing seemed real. And lo and behold, I discovered this cartoon called The Amazing Spider-Man. And I know it was a cartoon, but there was something about this guy, Peter Parker, that had a job and he had to go to school and he had to pay his rent and he had to help his aunt out. And he was getting yelled at by his boss. But then again, he'd put a mask on and he was joking with everybody. He was beating up the bad guys and saving the day. And then at the end of it, he'd get a cold or something. And I'm like, this is great. Can we find out more about this? And unlike the other big influence on my childhood, Walt Disney, who I would see every Sunday night, my mom and dad would make me go watch The Wonderful World of Disney on NBC around 7 o'clock. And now and then you'd see old footage of Walt himself in a suit, a mustache, smoking a cigarette mostly. He seemed cool, but he wasn't very approachable. But there was a local show here in New York called Wonderama, and that was on Sunday mornings. It was hosted by a guy named Bob McAllister, and it was like a kid's show where they'd show cartoons and they'd have music and guests and prizes. And, you know, it was like an hour and maybe an hour and a half, Wonderama.
And then but they brought the store, this guy on comic books and
called Stan Lee.
I learned to read was from Marvel to the Comics. TV set I knew
because this was the guy in my mind
activity when I was
that was
5
the
years old
that created
in kindergarten. The other kids were
all
really
these
tiny
heroes
shoes.
That I would watch. I watched the show called The Mighty Marvel Superheroes.
What was that all about?
I would watch Spider-Man.
My mom would read some of the words to me in the comics, and I couldn't pronounce them, and she would say things like gamma. I'm like, no, Ma, it's gamma radiation. And the thing of it is, all these books had this one particular item that always caught my eye. Every book opened up with these words: Stan Lee presents, whether it was The Amazing Spider-Man, The Fantastic Four, The Incredible Hulk, The Invincible Iron Man. It always said Stan Lee presents. Now, I didn't know how a comic book worked. I didn't know who drew what or who was the inker or who was the letterer or the colorist and all that nonsense. I was a kid. All I knew is this Stan Lee presents. Whoever this Stan Lee guy was, he must be a super genius. He must be the ultimate creative guy in the world. He was like Charles Schulz was always with Peanuts. Whenever you saw Snoopy, you always heard the name Charles Schulz. Whenever you saw Mickey Mouse, you heard the name Walt Disney. But when you saw Spider-Man and the Hulk and all the rest, there was one word, two words, Stan Lee. I don't know what this guy did, but he was the guy I wanted to be. I don't know how, but I did. And I remember my mom writing a letter because I was obsessed with him. I was drawing everywhere. I'm like, I got to go work at this Marvel Comics. When I grow up, where is this? And you'd always see in the comics, everything was in New York City. So I would tell my dad, how far is it to New York? He said, it's about 80 miles from New Haven. I'm like, all right, well, when I grow up, I got to go work there. And I got to work for the Stan Lee guy. So my mom writes a letter. And years later, John Cimino, who used to be on the show with me here, told me that it was really Flo Steinberg that would send these letters out, but I didn't care. I got this postcard after my mom sent a letter to Stan Lee and said, listen, my son, he loves your comic books. He wants to grow up to be an artist, and he wants to work for you. So I got this nice card that says, dear Mitch, thanks. And to your mom wrote to us, thank you for all the love of the comics you're doing, and keep up the faith and keep practicing and keep drawing. And maybe some days you'll work here in the hallowed halls of the Mary Marvel Marching Society and the House of Ideas. We can't wait to see you here at Marvel Comics. And it was 666 Madison Avenue, fifth floor, something like that. I taped that card. I brought it to school. I showed all my comic book friends, Brian and Proto, and all my friends. We'd talk about it. I'd say, look, I got a letter from Stan Lee. Get the hell out. And we'd all stare at it like it was like God had come down from the heavens and written me a letter, like Moses and the Ten Commandments. And like I said, I taped that to my wall. And I stared at that every day. I would draw and I'd look. I go, someday I'm going to go work with this guy. I'm going to meet this guy, Stan Lee. I wanted to meet Neil Armstrong, Johnny Carson, because he was the king of late night. And he was like the funniest guy on earth. And the other guy was Stan Lee. Now, I never got to meet Neil Armstrong. I met Buzz Aldrin, so I got it close. I never got to meet Johnny Carson, though I got a letter and I watched him every day religiously, too, because he was cool. They were all cool. Neil Adams walking on the moon, you didn't get cooler than that. Johnny Carson with his suits and his money and his show at night, he was the number one guy. Nobody got cooler than that. But this Stan Lee guy, he would be on local TV. He wasn't dressed in a suit. He was actually kind of dressed like a cool, hip kind of guy. He'd have an open shirt and he'd have gold chains now and then. He was definitely a product of the 70s. I remember looking at Stan Lee thinking he was like a weird Burt Reynolds or Mark Spitz or something like that. But he was a cool dude. And let me tell you something. When he was on Wonderama, every word he said sounded great. He was like a cheerleader. He was like a coach. And he talked about Spider-Man and the Hulk like they were real people. Like he went to work and he worked alongside Steve Rogers. And I'm like, my God, this guy knows Captain America. He knows Peter Parker. So diehard Marvel Comics fan, diehard Stan Lee fan. Everything was Stan Lee in my house. Everything. I saved up money and bought the Origins of Marvel Comics that showed those hands that were Stan Lee's hands at the typewriter, typing those magical origin stories, typing those magical stories about the Fantastic Four, the X-Men, Daredevil. Oh, my God. He was everything to me. Years passed. I go to high school. I go into art. I draw. I become the artist of the year. What do I draw? Comic book stuff. All I wanted to do is go to art school to become a cartoonist and an illustrator for Marvel Comics. Why? Because I want to work with Stan Lee. And my God, he's narrating the cartoons. I was a teenager, and I would watch these cartoons, The Incredible Hulk, The Fantastic Four. Why? Because Stan Lee would narrate them. And like I said, he was comic books. I understood at that point in the 80s that there was artists like John Byrne, Mike Zeck, Jerry Ordway, all those folks. But, you know, Stan Lee was the guy. He was like P.T. Barnum. Sure, there was people that came to the circus and other people that did the trapeze act, and Gunther Gable Williams was the lion tamer, and Michu was the world's smallest man. But the guy behind it all was like P.T. Barnum. The guy behind all the comic books to me was Stan Lee. Now, years later, I would find out all this controversy about Stan taking credit for this or that, or, you know, Jack Kirby wrote this and Steve Ditko did that. I mean, it didn't matter. It didn't matter at all, because the person I saw, the person that I thought of when I thought of Marvel Comics in my head, when I thought of Spider-Man, was this guy with a mustache and hair and glasses, and that was Stan Lee. So, you know, he was the man, because he even told you he was. His name was Stan the Man Lee. Then he goes into Hollywood. Then they start making these TV shows and movies and all that stuff. Whatever. As long as Stan was around, it was cool. 90s come. There's talk about a Captain America movie. It's horrific. There's talk about a Spider-Man movie. It's never get off the ground. Fantastic Four movie. Well, Stan said it might be okay. So, we'll give it a shot. It's horrible. It's on YouTube. Go watch it. But then it happens. The world of special effects catches up with the rest of us. And suddenly we see the stuff that Stan and Jack and Steve and Roy and all the rest of the people that worked at Marvel Comics saw in those pages on paper were now coming to life on the big screen. We saw the X-Men movies. We saw Spider-Man. we saw all of these guys that I had grown up with, that everybody had grown up with, coming to life. And there, really briefly, if you blinked, you missed him, was who? Stan Lee. Oh, my God, it was Stan Lee. Now, I had the great fortune of meeting Stan a couple times. I remember when I had stock and the New York City Stock Exchange had a day where Marvel Comics was now being sold. I saved up my money. I bought Marvel stock, and they had an annual stockholders meeting. And who was going to be there but Stan Lee? Now, I had no idea about finances. I had no idea about NASDAQ or Wall Street or anything. All I knew was Stan Lee was going to be there. So I took my then girlfriend, who later becomes my wife. We went to New York. I bring with me my copy of the Origins of Marvel Comics that I had since I was a kid. And I had read this thing cover to cover. I even talked about I had to get two copies because I read it so much the binding wore out and the pages fell out. I even saved the pages and stapled them together and made little mini comics. So I go there and I'm walking around and I'm looking for Stan Lee and I don't know what to do. And my wife taps me on the shoulder. She goes, "He's right there." And all these Wall Street guys were so into making money and being the, you know, number one stock of the day. I don't know. I don't get finances. I read comic books, okay? But who's sitting there in a chair right in the front row? But the guy I saw in Wonderama, the guy I would see narrating, the Incredible Hulk stories or hear him. There he was, Stan Lee, flesh and blood in front of me. And my wife goes, or then girlfriend Sharon goes, "There's Stan Lee." I go, and I walk up to him, and I remember I was shaking. I was shaking like a leaf, like I was meeting Santa Claus, like I was a little kid. And there it was. I had the book in my hands, and Stan looks up at me, and he goes, "Hey, how are you?" And I go, "Oh, hello, Mr. Lee. And I just want to say I'm a huge fan, and I brought this book. Oh, my God, that's my favorite book, The Origins of Marvel Comics. I wrote this. It was a bestseller. Do you know?" And he starts telling me all about the book and how it came to be and this and that. I was in another world. I was transported right there in front of me. The flesh and blood in front of me was Stan freaking Lee, okay? And he took my book and he put two Mitch. Stan Lee signed it. And he's like, "Well, thanks for coming down here and thanks for supporting Marvel." I'm like, "Oh, you know it, Mr. Lee." I was on cloud nine. I don't even remember the rest of the day. I really don't. So flash forward a couple years later, it's 1993. I get the opportunity to go apply at DC Comics. I had already gone and applied to Marvel Comics, was offered a job, but it didn't pay enough money, so I declined it. But now I had to go for an interview at DC Comics. And it so happened to be the same day there was another stockholder meeting. So I went to the stockholder meeting for Marvel Comics, and literally across the street was the DC Comics offices. So I go in there. I walk in. I didn't bring anything. I brought my portfolio. Obviously, I had to go interview at DC. So there's Stan Lee. He's sitting at the stockholders meeting. So they had a bunch of comic books. I remember it was the Clone Saga books. You know, Peter Parker's mom and dad had come back, Richard and Mary Parker, and they were giving out these like imitation animation cells from the Fantastic Four. And there was just a bunch of, you know, freebie stuff. So Stan Lee was there. And I said, "Oh, hello, Mr. Lee. I met you a couple years ago and you signed my Origins of Marvel. I love that book. What are you doing here?" I said, "Well, I'm about to go do an interview at the Distinguished Competition. I hope you don't mind." And he's like, "No, as long as it pays the bills, you know, good luck to you and all this stuff." I go, "Oh, thanks, Stan." He takes the books that were there. He goes, "Let me wish you good luck." He takes the cover of the Amazing Spider-Man. I still have it. And he writes on it, "Good luck with your interview at the Distinguished Competition. Your friend, Stan Lee." And I was like, "You know what? I already got the job because Stan Lee told me I could. Look at that." And then he signed a couple more things for me that I gladly have framed and hanging here in the house. So I walked across the street almost feeling guilty that I was applying at DC Comics. But hey, man, when I got in there, I talked to the secretary. I said, "Hey, you know, I don't know if it means anything, but I got a recommendation right here from Stan Lee." And she goes, "Well, you know, he works for the other people." I said, "I know, but still, it's Stan Lee." So needless to say, I did not get that job with Robin Brosterman and the DC folks back in the day. But I had a Stan Lee autograph and I had a good story. And that's what made me happy. Flash forward years later, we go to New York Comic Con. I bring my son Spencer with me. I tell him that Stan Lee's going to be there. We're looking for Stan Lee. I'm on the phone talking to my wife, saying how I'm trying to find Stan Lee. My son is pulling at my jacket. And I'm like, what do you want? He's like, Dad. I'm like, I'm on the phone with Mom. Leave me alone. Who's behind us but Stan Lee? He's standing right there next to me. And my son is desperately trying to get my attention. And he looks at Stan Lee, and Stan Lee looks down at him and takes his hand and messes up his hair and just walks by him. And my son goes, Dad, Stan Lee was right there. I'm like, oh, no. So then I go back and I interview Stan Lee. We were doing a show called Con Men. Was with this fellow named Leo Marinek, and he bumped into me, said, hey, could you be my on-air talent? The other guy didn't show up. Can you go interview some people? I said, who do you got to interview? Well, we got to interview Peter David and Michael Uslan and some of the Walking Dead and Stan Lee. Are you kidding me? I'm there in the room. I think there's footage somewhere on YouTube. They're talking about these new projects that they're going to work on together for Stan Lee's POW Entertainment. Purveyors of wisdom or wonderment. And then Stan's there and I'm trying to talk to him. But as he's walking by me, I got the microphone, we got the camera, and they're trying to hush and rush Stan out of the room. I go, but Stan, can I at least get an Excelsior from you? And he stops dead in his tracks, turns, looks right in the camera, puts his fist down and goes, Excelsior! And he goes on. So that was our only bit we got from Stan. But met him again a couple years later at Mike Carbo's farewell show, the Big Apple Con. Stan was there, got to hang out with him, got a photo with him, autographed, talked to him for a couple minutes. It just never ended. And then, of course, take my son Owen to New York Comic Con. He gets to meet Stan. I think everybody in this house has met Stan Lee, from my wife to my kids to my everybody. Everybody knows Stan Lee. He's the man. He's the reason why there's billion-dollar movies. He's the reason why there's cartoons, there's video games about Spider-Man. He's the reason why Disney buys Marvel Comics, because he was the guy. He was the P.T. Barnum. He's the one that kept comics alive. And now, sadly, at 95 years of age, he has left us. Now, I truly wish that my former co-host, John Cimino, was still here on the show. For reasons I'd rather not get into, he is not. But I come home Saturday night. I went down to Baltimore with my friend Tony to something called Alien Con. And I see on Facebook, Roy Thomas, who's been at Terrific Con 3 times in the last 4 years, handpicked by Stan Lee to be his successor as the editor of Marvel Comics, is at Stan's house. Now, this is odd to me because he had just gone to visit Stan during the summer. He had saw Stan Lee for a little bit. And Stan, as we all know, if you've been reading the news, his wife passed away after 70 years. Joni, she died last year. There was some trouble with his management, all types of rumors and innuendos on television about improprieties and abuse and on, I won't even get into. But Roy had gone out to see Stan. And John had told me that he'd called the house and, you know, Stan had picked up the phone. So I was always hearing these things and Roy was telling how Stan was doing. So I was really surprised to see on Saturday night a photograph of Roy Thomas and Cimino with Stan Lee. And I'm like, that's odd. Roy had just seen Stan a couple months ago. Well, I wonder why he's back out there so quickly, in fact. And now, I don't know. I mean, I don't know what was going on behind the scenes, but I think it's one of those things when certain people get old, they just have a couple things they need to get taken care of before they leave this earth. They want to go meet somebody. They want to see their friends or family one last time. And then it's almost like a sigh of relief that they could pass on now. They could go on because they've taken care of all their responsibilities. And I honestly think that's an old school Italian, superstitious as I am. I had it happen with my grandmother. She had been wanting to see me for weeks on end. I was very busy with my new job. I finally came down to see her on a Sunday. We talked for a little bit. You know, she said, take care of yourself. I just had very bad dreams. I'm like, Graham, what are you talking about? She saw my sons again. And then, you know, she just said, I just want to make sure you're taken care of. I'm like, yeah, okay. So I go home, didn't think twice about it. The next morning, my mother calls. My grandmother had passed away in her sleep. Things happen. You'll never understand them. It's the power cosmic out there, for real. But old people tend to have things, they want to get their affairs in order before they pass on, and that's what happened. So here we are. This has been a hell of a year for the Mighty Marvel original bullpen. Steve Ditko passed on earlier this year. Like I mentioned, Flo Steinberg had passed away. And now San, I think this is the end of the original Fantastic Four, the original Marvel bullpen. They're no longer with us. But of Stan Lee, it just doesn't seem like he could ever die because he was timeless. He just had such energy. You see him in these Marvel movies. I saw him on stage at New York Comic Con with some Japanese punk rock band, and Stan Lee was on the damn stage, and he was about to like stage dive, and they had to hold him back from security. He had to be like 89 back then, 88. This guy was like the Energizer Bunny. He never slowed down. He never stopped. And he always had stories. And he would always talk about Spider-Man and Captain America like they were, his, like I said, his best friends. And he had just met them yesterday. But now he's not going to be around anymore. And I'm sure I've heard stories that they videotaped his or filmed his cameo appearances in the future Marvel movies. And it's apropos that the Avengers is coming to an end next year with Cap and Iron Man and all that. And I'm sure there's going to be a beautiful tribute to Stan Lee in that film. I'm sure he's going to have one more cameo in there. I do know the film's coming out this week. Wreck-It Ralph or Ralph Wrecks the Internet. I don't know what that has to do with comics, but Stan's in that. And I'm sure he's in that Spider-Verse movie that comes out, that animated Spider-Man cartoon. And he was in Venom, for goodness sakes, which he had nothing to do with as far as I know, but there he was. It's just hard to imagine the world without Stan Lee, because he had been, as far as my 52 years in this world, he's always been part of it. You know, I'm sitting here now talking to you, recording this, and literally there's a stack of comic books on my right. On my left-hand side, there's a copy of Tales of Suspense, issue 65, Iron Man and Captain America. And who wrote those stories in this book? Stan Lee. I mean, Stan Lee is in every inch of this house, literally every corner. There's some Stan Lee merchandise. There's a stuffed Lockjaw toy across from me. My dog Harley walks around with an Incredible Hulk 2 toy. Okay, he's touched every bit of my license plate. Is Nuff Said. If you see a car in Connecticut that says Nuff Said, beep, that's me. That's what I'm talking about. This man, this Stan Lee, for his 95 years on this earth, has affected me as much as Jesus did growing up, as much as Bruce Springsteen did when I was a teenager in the music. And like I said, my hero, Neil Armstrong, Johnny Carson, Stan Lee, all three of them gone, all three of them changed the world forever when they were here. So, I don't know. I've been going on for 22 minutes now and just getting it out of my system. I can't think of my favorite Stan Lee story because they're all my favorites. Every one of them. Amazing Fantasies 15. Done. Captain America comes back in the Avengers, issue 4. Done. Favorite book. The Incredible Hulk, the origin story. Favorite. Anything. I can't think of one bad Stan Lee story. I honestly can't. I can't think of one that I hated or I wasn't entertained. Not one. Not a single one. I can't think of any writer out there who's had such a perfect streak. This guy was hitting home runs even when he didn't want to hit a home run. Okay? And, you know, it's 95 years, God bless him. He had a hell of a life. Long, long marriage. Children. He had two daughters. One sadly passed away. And then he had Joni, his other daughter, JC. It's one of those things. I mean, you know, we should all live to be at 95 and have the life of Stan Lee did. And he'll be remembered forever. Like I said, everybody knows Stan Lee. Every kid in this world knows Stan Lee. When they watch those Marvel movies and he comes up on screen, there's always a bunch of applause or laughter in the theater, because they all knew if it wasn't for that guy up there, they wouldn't be sitting in those theaters. And I'm sure all those actors and all those Kevin Feige producers and all the rest of them, I hope they take a moment and they pay tribute to Stan Lee for what he gave to them. Because honestly, he gave them their careers. He gave them their financial stability. He gave them fame and fortune. Chris Evans, who? Robert Downey Jr., who? They wouldn't be even on the radar right now if it wasn't for portraying Captain America or Iron Man. You name it, they owe a great deal to Stan Lee. So This has been Mitch Halleck on behalf of all the fans from around the world. Anybody who listens to this, I know you all think the same thing I do. God bless you, Stan Lee. Godspeed. I hope you're up there with the legendary creators and you're all sitting around telling great stories. And I can't wait to hear them someday. Not today, but someday. So we used to say that's that, but I'm going to end this show with Enough Said and perhaps my favorite singing Stan ever did, which would be the Merry Marvel Marching Society. So again, we're not going to be here next week. It's going to be Thanksgiving. You thank everybody. You thank your family. You thank everything you have. That's what Thanksgiving's about. This is, I guess, an early Thanksgiving episode because I'm thanking Stan Lee for all he did for me and all the rest of us. So good night, Mr. Lee, wherever you are.
Okay, out there in Marvelland, face front, this is Stan Lee speaking. You've probably never heard a record like this before because no one would be nutty enough to make one with a bunch of offbeat artists, so anything is liable to happen.
Hey, who made you a disc jockey, Lee?
Well, well, Jolly Jack Kirby, say a few words to the fans, Jackson.
Okay, a few words.
Look, pal, I'll take care of the humor around here.
You've been using the same gags over and over for years.
Well, you can't accuse me of being fickle, can you? By the way, Jack, the readers have been complaining about Sue's hairdo again.
What am I supposed to do? Be a hairdresser? Next time I'll draw her bald-headed.
Boy, I'm glad we caught you when you were in a good mood.
Oh, Stan, do you have a few minutes?
For our fabulous gal Friday? Sure. Say hello to the fans, Flo Steinberg.
Hello, fans. It's very nice to meet you. As Marvel's corresponding secretary, I feel as though I know most of you from your letters. By the way, Saul Brodsky wants to say a few words.
Saul Brodsky? Who's he?
Stan, the fans know you have a bad memory by all the mistakes you make, but this is ridiculous. He's been your associate for years.
Really? We ought to start paying him one of these days.
I've been meaning to talk to you about that. And how come I don't get my name plastered all over the mags like you do?
Because I can't spell it, that's why.
Well, as long as you've got a good reason.
Hey, what's all that commotion out there, Sol?
Why, it's Shy Steve Ditko. He heard you making a record, and he's got mic fright. Whoops, there he goes.
Out the window again? You know, I'm beginning to think he is Spider-Man.
You mean he isn't?
Who said that?
Just that lovable old letter of me.
It's adorable Addie Simic. What brought you here?
The subway.
Oh, well, ask a bonehead question, Flo.
Stan, Sam Rosen is on the phone.
How are the letterer? My competitor?
Just for fun, Artie, you talk to him.
Hi, Sam. This is Artie. How's it going, pal?
Just great, Artie. I sure admire your lettering.
I admire yours too, Sam. I think you're tops.
Thanks. Well, nice talking to you.
The pleasure was all mine.
I never could stand that guy.
Well, that's our Artie. Just imagine what Sam is saying about him now. Well, let's see who else we can get on this record.
How about Chick Stone?
Okay. Hi, Chick. How's Trix?
Fine, Stan. I'm reading the latest story. It's great. What a thriller.
Now, that's what we like to hear, Chick. Which one of our comics is it?
Who's reading a comic? This is a novel about James Bond. I can't wait to finish it.
Well, we're going to miss Chick around here.
Oh, look who just came in. Kid Daredevil himself, Wally Wood.
Is that a tape recorder, Flo? You know I'm afraid to talk into these machines. I can never think of anything to say. I'm not a big talker. I shut up like a clam. I get struck dumb. My mind goes
blank. Okay, forget it. Boy, I'd hate to hear you when you feel like talking.
Stan, Dick Ears is on the phone.
Let's surprise him.
Hi, Dick. We have a recorder playing, and you're talking to millions of people right now.
You're some kind of nut or something? I just want to tell you I want a raise.
Dick, don't you understand? People are listening. You're talking to the whole world.
I always knew you'd crack someday, Lee. Just my luck, it had to happen when I asked you for some more dough. Well, I'm going back to Sergeant Fury. Goodbye.
Another phone call for you, Stan.
Oh, not anymore. I'm getting an earache.
But it's Don Heck.
The idol of the Iron Man fans? The ace of the Avengers? Hi, Don. What's doing?
Stan, I was just wondering, wasn't I supposed to draw Iron Man last week?
Sure. Why do you ask?
So how come you mailed me a Patsy Walker script?
Yipe! Did I do that? That's awful.
Oh, well, don't worry. I'll send it back to you.
That's not why I'm worried. I must have sent your script to Al Hartley. I can just imagine Iron Man looking like Patsy Walker this issue. Okay, talk to you later, Don.
Don't worry about it, Stan. Don't you remember that Al Hartley used to draw adventure strips?
It may not be too bad.
Well, well, look who's here. Stan G., our demon colorer. I've been meaning to talk to you, Stan. When are you going to remember it's the Hulk who has green skin, not Captain America?
Gee whiz, the guy can't remember everything. Anyway, I had to tell you what MMMS meant last week, and you're the guy who made it up.
But when I forget something, it's different.
Yeah, it's worse.
Stan, this is the most confused record I ever heard.
Great, Sol. Just what we want. If it were anything else, it wouldn't be the nutty Marvel bullpen.
Gosh, we don't have time for George Bell and Vince Coletta and Larry Lieber and Bob Powell and...
That's great. Now, if we ever form another club, we'll have something new to offer. Voices that haven't been heard yet.
Enough said, Sol.
Walk a little prouder, be an innovator, laugh a little louder, go forever greater, we can show you how to, and when will you be then? You'll belong to the Mary Marvel Marching Society. March along, march along, march along to the song of the Mary Marvel Marching Society. If you groan,
been a production of Big Fedora Marketing LLC, the folks that bring you the terrific Comic-Con, GamerCon, and so much more. Thanks for listening.